SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back into hour three, and we're going to follow up Scully with running mate Ed DeRosa. And Ed, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Saratoga, everyone.
Absolutely. And the companion piece to Del Mar, the certain harmony, of course, coast to coast. And the same is true when it comes to the coverage and all the work you guys are doing, the Twin Spires blogs and everything. For players, help get them more or less armed for these intense 7 weeks.
Yeah, as I tweeted last night, I'm the type of player who really enjoys these days where basically everyone is playing, and certainly a big focus on Saratoga throughout the 40-day meet. But opening day, a big event in and of itself, and everyone amped up and excited to tackle the big pools. I'm excited too, and it's just one of those days where if you can find the right winner that other people missed, it just adds a little lagniappe to the experience. So definitely hoping to find a few of those, if not today, throughout the meet. But certainly the best racing we have in the country, and Bristnet definitely plans to answer that call with some of the best information in the industry as well.
Well, give us a quick view of your early approach when it came to Del Mar, and we'll morph it into Saratoga conversation.
Yeah, I think, you know, and especially using the Bristnet PPs, and this really should apply to whatever materials you use, is, you know, anecdotally, it's easy to fall into traps and think, oh, I'm looking for this, or early speed holds, or posts are good, this and that. But definitely avail yourself, even the free information out there, whether it's the Equibase database, or if you do use Bristnet, the ultimate summary at the end of each race provides a snapshot, and Bristnet has those at a glances that we do each week, which will be valuable after the first week of Spa. But really see with the data, what could lead you to certain winners. And, you know, I posted a stat before the Del Mar meet that the best last out Bristnet speed rating in turf sprints was a flat bet profit going back to when they redid the turf course in 2014. So, you know, does that mean that if the horse is 4-5, you should be betting with both fifths? Certainly not. But to me, that's just one of those nuggets when you're handicapping and considering what horses to add or subtract from your multi-race bets or gimmick bets. You know, if there's an 8 or 9 to 1 who had the best last out speed rating, that's just a no-brainer to me. I don't care if there's a winless jock up or, you know, any number of angles that maybe you'd say, oh, I'm not on this horse, but it's shown to be a flat bet profit. And, you know, sometimes the don't overthink it angles are the ones that can lead you to add a horse that, you know, the last second that could really make a difference really in your meet with some of these pools, as we've seen time and again with the pick five especially. So that's one of my approaches, is not to miss out on, you know, I put a lot of time in between the workout reports and coming up with models using my Always database and designer numbers as well that, you know, incorporate some other things that a typical speed rating doesn't. But at the end of the day, if the data is showing you that you can, you know, land on some decent price winners using a particular data set, I'm not going to ignore it when the price is right.
Well, between Ed's lead and all the information we just talked with Scully and with his play suggestions, Vance Hansen and everybody, so much in terms of quality information and, you know, serious approach. And then at Twin Spires, a lot of fun. I mean, there's the bet back opt-ins. Give a quick rundown of what's been going on here, summer promotions.
Yeah, today's promotion's the bet back, so kind of thought maybe people shaking the rust off not everyone plays every day like me or many days, and Saratoga is something people look forward to. So with the bet back, if you're almost right, you get your win bet back up to $5, and that's every race. So obviously you want to pick winners, but if you find yourself with a case of seconditis on your top picks, you have a chance to get $5 back each race. So again, make sure you opt in at twinspires.com/offers. And check your email, too, because this is the time of year where we're targeting some offers to people we know who like to play Saratoga, Del Mar, summer racing in general, maybe get them back after the Triple Crown season. So we have some targeted offers out there, too. So make sure you watch your email for that. And a little bit off the beaten path, but I did want to mention a promotion we have Sunday for Lone Star Park's closing day. It's basically a place pick all promotion, and we've done these play style pools other days, but we carried over. No one won last week, so I think it's $7,000 up for grabs, and if you're able to sweep the card with $5 place bet, you'll win or share the grand prize. And since no one's done it, I think it's pretty safe that if you win and sweep the card with place bets, you're looking at least $1,000 and maybe all the way up to $4,000 or $5,000. So for those looking for some action between races on Sunday, Lone Star's closing day, and we have a pretty good promo to go with it.
Very cool. Let's start taking some notes, some big picks. Ed, what do you like today, tomorrow, Saratoga, Del Mar?
Yeah, well, that mostly stuck to Saratoga, and normally I like to give a winner right off the rip. I did think this first race is pretty tough, so I'm going to punt and not fall too victim to its charms just to play. I mean, I'll be active in the pick five, certainly, and things like that, but no strong lean to get the card started. But I did want to point out in race four, I think the first-time starter looks pretty live to me. I haven't seen anything from the horses who have run dropping in to the 75,000. It's certainly a nice tag, but I haven't seen anything that's going to shake me off Eagle Pass. And I've talked about some of those data points that might lead you to horses you want to include. Manny Franco, huge positive ROI, and has booted home some very big price winners on the turf, and teams up with Jonathan Thomas, who just has had some lights out numbers in all categories. And I think Eagle Pass is worth a long look as a first-time starter, which maybe some people are inclined to ignore going a route on the turf. But I think the horse fits on connections and pedigree, and definitely going to be a strong play for me to start the meet.
Yeah, I thought he was dangerous, and I had that same feeling. I mean, that the ones that obviously that have run – They keep running, you know, sort of the same kinds of okay-ish races, and all it's going to take is one jump up, and he's the jump up candidate. There's no doubt. Eagle Pass, the 8 and the 4th.
Yep. So we'll see where the board leads. Definitely would be more than happy with 6-1 though. So definitely targeting that one. In race 6, Palladian Bridge. Number 10, I think with outside speed, again, Manny Franco, but, and I, earlier this week, I mentioned, how strong Manny Franco has been, but I just happened to land on these horses, by happenstance. And then just Manny Franco's the cherry on top to give me a little confidence that he can boot home, runners at prices at the Saratoga meet. But, I do think with, the outside speed, maybe this one clears, maybe Manny decides to sit and pounce, but I thought 12-1 was a pretty good price. The best race did come on slop, so that is somewhat of a concern, but again, I think we're being compensated based on price, and it is a little bit of a brisk net angle. The horse is the leading prime power candidate, and anytime you can get 12-1 on that, I'm going to take it.
Very good, Palladian Bridge.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's right.
Yeah, yep. And then skipping ahead to the Schuylerville, which I think is pretty salty, but Eye in the Sky at 6-1 caught my eye the most. the maiden race was quick, one of the better ones, I thought, at Churchill, and the board showed it at 9-10 and had plenty of excuses in the Astoria, which has come back to be a decent race anyway. I think it's a competitive enough group that I'm not extremely bullish, but it's a top pick, and 6-1 I think is the right price. And the horse who finished in front of her last time, Lady Apple, on her outside, I got the sense even in defeat, Steve was pretty pleased with her first start for his barn, and I wouldn't be shocked to see improvement here as they stretch out, and you know, being by Curlin, that makes sense, and I ride 6 aboard. So I'm looking to the outside in the Schuylerville 8-9.
And I'm of a mind to spread quite a bit in the Schuylerville. I know that, you know, there's real affection, it seems, for Nona Madeline. I get it, but I thought it was a very well matched addition to this, and I'm going to spread around a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, Nona Madeline and then the horse to her inside, the morning line favorite, you know, no one's going to be shocked if either wins. But I'm sort of with you. I feel like, and I highlighted the top two, and I'll play accordingly because it's their prices. If I want to make sure I do okay if I like them that much, and they're, you know, $10, $15. But it's just hard to take the two shortest prices in here. I think it's a competitive group and should be in for a pretty good race. And I'd be remiss if I didn't give a pick in the Coaching Club American Oaks, which, and it's more just that I want to talk about it. What a fantastic race. I'm of the mindset, I don't understand why anyone would complain that this only got 5 horses. I mean, I get it. We love bigger fields, and the Oaks is a lot of fun with 14 horses. And by no means am I saying I wouldn't be happier if there were more, but at the same time, you know, there was some consternation when Monomoy Girls Connection said, well, we might not be looking at the Alabama. And, you know, people said, myself included, is this because of Midnight Bizu and common ownership? Well, here they are in, you know, the second grade one race of the meet, butting heads at 9 furlongs at one of the best tracks in the country. And I just don't understand why anyone would complain about that. Certainly Monomoy Girls race to lose. She looks super strong to me, but I'm going to let the board dictate my final decision. Maybe I just sit and watch and enjoy the show, but if Monomoy Girls odds on and takes the kind of money we saw Rachel take, and I loved her and wanted to win the Woodward, but I still can't believe she was 1-5 in that race. Similar with Monomoy Girls, she's 2-5 here, and they let Midnight Bisu go off around 2-1. I'd have a hard time ignoring that, but if they're a little bit closer, maybe I just watch. But I'm looking forward to it, and I wish people would just enjoy it instead of complaining about it.
I didn't go looking for complaints, but anybody that would complain about that field of five has no clue regarding historic perspective and are just slavish morons. I mean, to the cacophony of idiocy, including the stupidity surrounding complaints about the new section at the end of the grandstand that collects dust all but 2 days of the meet. I'm glad I didn't see anything, Ed, that you indicate must, I guess, is out there, because
I follow more people, I guess, and yeah, it's too bad. I mean, because these are the horses you want in the race, and they're competing.
Ridiculous.
And I haven't been to Saratoga in 18 years, unfortunately. Hopefully I can amend that this year. But I can speak to what Churchill did to section 127 and 128, even before the sweeps, with the starting gate area. And it's one of my favorite parts of the track, whether it's workouts or just to go watch them, spin them in, as John Dooley would say. So as you said, if they improve that area, I encourage everyone to use that as a to their advantage to check it out, because that's a cool spot to watch races usually.
Yeah. You're supposed to try to utilize all of your assets and maximize them. It's very, very funny that anybody that's followed the course of things up here, you know, for years, all we heard was how, you know, Naira Naira can't make any money, and then when they try to utilize their most valuable asset, that's no good either. So it just really Andy had a great tweet the other night saying great opportunity to remember how people will find something to grouse about no matter how wonderful things are that are laid out in front of you. And laid out in front of us is the 40 days of Saratoga and Del Mar running concurrently, and then everything else around that we enjoy. Ed, good luck this weekend, and all meet.
All right, sounds good, Steve, and all your listeners as well.
Ed DeRosa, folks, and we'll be checking in regularly, and hope he and Scully and Nick and everybody put you on winners. We'll take a break here. Come back, Rick Hammerly, and we'll go out to Del Mar. Hammer had his first day at Old Del Mar yesterday, and we also were trying to get to Mike Welch before we wrap up, get the early clocker report and a chance to lock in the clocker report for the whole meet, or use it for day at a time or week at a time. Lots of opportunity and various packages for you at drf.com/clocker. Hammer joins us next. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Cole Ranch has the facility and the expert personnel to get your yearlings started correctly right here in California. Hi, this is Steve Cole. We have a variety of round pens, a huge outdoor arena, as well as a meticulously maintained 5/8 mile training track with rails and a 4-horse starting gate. Your horse will be given the utmost in care and attention. We employ only patience and kindness, and scrupulously avoid cowboy training methods that rely on fear and deprivation. We also have numerous irrigated turnouts when your horse needs a break from the rigors of training. So give me a call at 805-990-3669 or visit our website. At Cole Ranch, we don't break racehorses. We build racehorses.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Inside the Sport of Kings, it's At the Races on Sirius Sports. Here's your host, Steve Vick.
Where the turf meets the surf, down at Old Del Mar. Take a plane, take a train, take a car. There's a smile on every face, and a winner in each race. Where the turf meets the surf at Del Mar.
Well, they can really start the meet in earnest now that Hammer got there for day two and for the weekend. Rick, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
You sound a little
belated here today.
Yeah, you sound a little fuzzy.
Well, bad connection, right? Anyway, I went to my normal spot where I usually do the show here, and on Fridays they usually don't take entries, but I guess they are today. So I had to scramble, so I made it up to the press box here, figuring this would be a great spot. And so it's 8:30. There's not a soul here. Everything's locked up. I figured I'd find a nice phone, you know, get a nice walk. There's nobody here. So I'm in a little cubby over here. We're talking on my earphone, and anyway, it's pretty wild. But it's good to be here, and, you know, I think I'm a day late, but I heard probably the best news I've heard in a while, or some news, that a judge ruled that California will not be split into three states. It's not going on the ballot. So, you know, a lot of relief for a lot of us here. This wacky state, you know, tries anything, but it's not going to happen. So everybody out there can feel much better. You can live in one state and not three, so it's all good.
I know. Funny story.
I don't know what to say. There was going to be something on the ballot where they were going to split us up, and then, you know, it's like, okay. And then they said they can't do it. So anyway. But, no, we made it here, and I'll tell you, as I find out every year, the only way to come down here is leave at 5 in the morning from L.A. Nice hour and 40-minute drive, piece of cake. Otherwise, it's a brutal drive, so... You have to learn once or twice, but leave early, get here. There's plenty of stuff to do in the morning before the race. And so, yeah, nice day here. You forget how nice it is when you get here. Or you really do. And, you know, Gina and Lindsay are with me today, and I get the same thing every year. Why don't we move down here? Come on, let's move down here. And it's hard to say no. There's a couple reasons, most of them of which have to do with the pocketbook, you know. It's a little pricey, but it's nice. I got to tell you, it is nice. And anyway, we've got 2 days under the belt. And it looks like last week commented on how it looked like the works were up and a lot more horses running. And it really gotten off to a good start field size-wise. And the races, most of the races in the condition book have gone. And I tell you what, it's been a rough handicapping-wise the first couple of days to grasp it. But... you know, that's what it's all about here. It's a lot of prices early is when you can really, really take your shot and, you know, be right a couple times and really be able to cash. I was yesterday stumbled through the day and was live to three horses for and I had a couple nice generous payoffs in the pick four and got nailed on the wire. But, you know, that's what you need to do. You need to keep plugging. And when you connect, you're going to hit a good one. Similar to Saratoga in that way, but it takes a few weeks to figure this track out if you ever do. So it's almost you don't ever want to talk anybody off a horse here for the first couple of weeks because anything can happen.
And that's a fair point. We talked to Gary Young. We had Steve Anderson. They had Quigley. We had John White. Got, you know, all the insights, Johnny D as well. And everybody's got their own, you know, little nuance. And certainly John White got everybody off to a good start because he was all over the Val Brinkerhoff winner of the Oceanside, Restrained Vengeance, who, you know, really was the right price, you know, when you go looking. And I picked him third, but I tried to get a little overly clever, I thought, Rick, because I reached for that RDB Good from Bill Murray, and I was part of, I guess, a stampede of people that drove him from 20-1 to 7-1.
Well, you know what? I think Bill Murray, who was a major player up in Northern California, switched his or brought about 16 to 18 horses to Santa Anita, and I think he proved he belonged, winning a couple stakes, but his horses were all live, so I think that had something to do with it. I think you're going to see him be an even bigger player down here in the Southland. So most of his horses are well-meant, and they're in the right spot, so that probably had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, we also have to note, and looking at the, you know, the first 5 days, right through Sunday, David Jerkins and team have got to be just, you know, thrilled. And, you know, part of the magic, undoubtedly no turf racing for the 3 weeks during Los Al Rec. And it's a great tonic for entry taking.
Well, it's not only that there's no turf racing at Los Al, you know, Los Al, the races there are mostly claimers, a couple of allowance races here and there. So I'm going to say, you know, 90% of the horses in the circuit got a break. And a three-week break anywhere, especially here, just gets everybody freshened up. And then you just have the added emphasis of, you know, owners and like to run at Del Mar. We're coming off, you know, six straight months at Santa Anita and looking for a change. And it's not like we limped to the finish at Santa Anita either. And that three-week break works for us as well. You know, you can run there late and then take a break and still be fresh for early at Del Mar. When we run very close together, you know, sometimes, you know, horsemen tend to, you know, hey, you know what, let's skip that last race at Santa Anita and be fresh for Del Mar. So that break helps both of us in a sense and kind of kept things going. But no, you know, I worked down here for 10 years my last year was about 5 years ago. But as far as entry-wise, I mean, when it's good, it's good. I mean, it's just great. They just flood in. And so it seems to be that's the way it started out, and that's always good.
Now, a couple of spots we can maybe touch on. And, Steve, I'm really impressed when you look at races like the Eddie Reed and the San Clemente, and you have these, you know, these just – head scratchers. You got to figure out pace, and you got to figure out one thing that you remind everybody. And it's funny because even in writing up today's Saratoga card, I used the, you know, the hammer axiom: don't be intimidated by horses that are drawn wide. If the horse fits, they'll work out a trip. And you know, that's one thing, Hammer, that over the last year, you stressed that in a number of big spots, and it's been a plus for me because I've heeded that advice and I've made it, you know, part of my play. I'm not dissuaded as much as I used to be when it comes to horses that are outposted.
Yeah, and you know, it takes a few beats over the years where it sticks in your head and it's like, why didn't I do it? And now you're right. Yeah, it takes a certain horse, you know, the athletic type. And, you know, when the rail's at zero, I mean, how many times do you see, you know, a quarter mile into the race, the 12 horses in front or something like along those lines? It just happens. If they're going to happen, I mean, if it's supposed to be there, it's going to happen. And to drop a horse just because he has a one in front and the first number is a one out there, I like it because the price usually goes up because most people do toss them. So it does pay off. The point is, you're not going to win all of them, but don't throw them out just because of it. And I tell you, I've cashed you know, many a bet where a horse should have been 6-7-1 and he was 15-1. So that's good. I played a little bit of Reporter this morning, and I don't know if it was out or not. I talked to Mark Glatt. He's going to scratch Sharp Samurai tomorrow and run in the Eddie Reed, which will make that race even more powerful. And you know, he entered him in the San Diego, and I said, well, you know, I said, you were tempted, right? And he says, yeah. I said, you know, obviously the division is so, it's not very strong, let's put it that way, here or there or anywhere right now. And so he just kind of had a little, let's just put him in, take a look. But he said, you might see this horse on the dirt, Sharp Samurai on the dirt down the road. Wasn't quite ready. His second start back, he had a nice tune-up in June and wanted to kind of get his confidence and keep going. But he said, you know, don't be surprised if you do see him entered in a couple of dirt stakes down the road just because the division is not great right now. So he'll be out of the San Diego. And, you know, flashbacks 1 year in the San Diego and you know, this was the turning point for John Sadler, right, and the horse.
Yep.
Just exploded here, And I don't want to say the downfall, but the big horse didn't fire, and didn't fire three times down here. So, but anyway, Accelerate has proved that that was not a fluke. Came back later in the year here, ran a real good third in the Pacific Classic, going a mile and a quarter, which, believe me, not many people thought this horse was going to go past a mile and a sixteenth. And I think one of the real good training jobs that Sean has done over his career has been with this horse. Came back and it started in our place in the San Antonio, went through that and the San Pasqual, and then of course winning the Sandy the Handicap and the Gold Cup, and then sandwiched that with a real, real good run at Oaklawn. So this horse is, if you had to pick right now the top handicap horse in the country, I think it's got to be him, whether he's going to carry this form through the end. I'm not sure. I did see where Collected and West Coast were getting back on it, and probably looked at some of the PPs around it and said, let's get these horses ready. Let's roll. Now's the time. So when they come back, we'll see what they can do. But right now, Accelerate, I don't know what the price is going to be in here. Obviously, 2 to 5, 3 to 5, something along those lines. The one horse in here I'm actually going to be anxious to take a look at is Harlan Punch. That's David Jacobson, the newly California resident David Jacobson, shifts across country after winning the Islam. We'll see what he can do in here. But kind of a bunch of wannabes left in here that haven't performed. Dr. Dorr was this interesting move going back to the Suburban, and coming out of that super race, I mean the Gold Cup, the horse that were in there, City of Light and Accelerate, and horse went back and won the Stephen Foster, just threw in a dud. So the fact that he's entered him back here and running him back in 2 weeks kind of lets you know that, cross him off. And let's see what goes on, but that was too bad of a race. 235, I mean, when it two ended then, he was running for 16,000 a year ago. Curlin Rules hasn't shown much. Prince of Arabia, ran a good race again. The Californian, El Garfano has a one in a year. Dabster, I don't know. He's running against the big boys a couple times and didn't perform too well. And then you get Harlan Punch on the outside, so... I don't know. This looks like a pretty salty, Chaco race. Anything jump up to you to say, hey, I'm going to run good today in there?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
I hear you.
I don't know. But and then you get to the San Clemente, and boy, is that a grab bag. You got 14 fillies in there, and I just wrote down, just trying to find the odds. I just wrote down, there's like 5 or 6 of them at 6 to 1, and that's what it looks like. The favorite's 9 to 2, I think, in the program. Miss Bad Behavior, who obviously looks like an improving sort. She hasn't been out since April, but that's no big deal. She ran well fresh last time, and looks like she tries every time. It seems like a lot of the horses that look well, they all have a lot of speed. I was talking to Patty Gallagher about his filly Animosity right before Casey called, and was trying to get a little bit of a story on that one. But very unusual for him to have a horse like this. She said they were kind of surprised when she broke her maiden down the hill and sent her up to Golden Gate Fields just as a confidence builder to see if she could handle that. Those horses up there, she did on the Poly, came back and ran a real good race. And I say unusual for him to take a horse like and run him in a stake in a third start unless he thinks of something. So he's pumped up. I said, "Oh, are you playing jockey roulette here?" He said, "Yeah, just the way the things happen." But very happy to get Drayden on there for his fourth rider and his fourth start, and will be close to the lead, but not necessarily have to have the lead type of thing. So I do like Animosity a little bit in there. Let's go out to the far outside again. Bill Morey, in a race like this, I'm not worried about anything. Now, this horse showed a lot winning on the dirt, won a grade two in her third start, She did well on a poly up there, and, you know, we go back to the old poly horses like the turf situation. Hey, why not give her a shot? She's 6-1. I thought she might be a little higher, but she's 6-1 out there. She'll probably drift up. She's in good form. Like I said, he sends them out ready, and Ollie's Candy might be worth a look on the outside as well. So, and like I said, this is one of those races you can't talk anybody out of a horse that they might like, because it's a grab bag.
Yeah, we got big maiden races, of course, as well, but the stakes carrying the water, and the Eddie Reed on the Sunday came up great.
I think, where are we? We're in mid-July. This is the best turf race we've had this year. I think I can safely say that. It's loaded. Grade 1 Kilrow winner's in here for us. The Grade 1 Shoemaker winner, the Hunt, is in here. It's in the post, who is probably the most consistent horse of the meet, especially on the turf. Mullins has just done a great job with him. You've got Bowie's Hero, like I said, and Shark Samurai, who needed to come back. We got him a little allowance race, which he performed great. And that was a terribly easy spot, but he just blew them away. And Sharp Samurai, he could be the best of the lot when it's all said and done. So I'm very anxious to see him run. And then interesting horse on the rail, we have the Shipper from Ireland, who many times here and in our turf racing here in Southern California, we haven't had a superstar lately, and many times the outsider comes in and just wins because they're just better. I don't know if this is the case, but I'll tell you what, I think this horse is definitely worth a look. But these are the best horses we've had. And then there's Next Shares, who owes some people some money here. I know he's tried hard every time. And Thunder Road, the Kilrow, and then the last one, the Shoemaker, was really coming at the end. And, you know, I don't know if the miles just thing is a late-running miler horse, and sometimes those things work out when they go out to mile and eighth. They go, oh, they love that mile and eighth. Sometimes not. Price is going to be right on Next Share, so he's something to look at. But I got to think Sharp Samurai. You got Sharp Samurai, Hunt, and It's in the Post are just three horses that are going to be tough to run down in here.
Well, a terrific, roaring start to Del Mar. Already off to a good couple of days. Carry over today, Hammer, and terrific stakes action throughout the weekend, including tonight, at least for those of us on the East Coast, when we see Paradise Woods and the Ocenitas. And looking forward to your weekend report next week as the summer season on both coasts really sets down for the drive, as they say.
Yeah, it's great. And good luck. I mean, have fun there tomorrow. Today, right?
Today.
Today's your open.
Yeah.
So that's great. You'll be settled in. I'll come out there in a couple of weeks and join you because I can't miss Saratoga. We'll say it one more time. If you're a Del Mar fan and you're here and you've never been to Saratoga, you got to go. And the same thing on the other side. If you're Saratoga bound, you got to take a few days and get out here and just see. They're so alike and so different. It's amazing. But two great spots. And I neglected to mention last week, when you come here, don't forget the sunglasses. Even if the sun's not out, you're going to need them.
Well, sun's always out. And the Hammer, enjoy. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great opening day.
I appreciate it. Rick Hammerly, everybody. Away they go on Twitter. Let's take our last break. We got to come back, get to Mike Welch, and spend a few minutes with Mike getting some early clocking ideas and get you pushed on to the work that he and Donald Harris and Dave Greinig are churning out on the Clocker Report. Didn't take long at all on the West Coast for the Clocking Report to Toby Terrell's work to pay some dividends every day, even if it's a negative opinion that a horse that's going to be a short price. We say that all the time. That's one of the helpful hints that comes. And you got to. It's not just the letters. Don't look at the letters. You got to read the way in which the clockers see the work. Not just the letter grade. Mike Welch to close out opening day at Saratoga, weekend preview at the races, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool Fun in the Sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete Fun in the Sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hope you're ready for a great summer. Summer, of course, rolling along elsewhere. It's always so hard. We say this every year that we get kind of caught up, but let's be honest. It's hard not to get caught up when it's right here in your backyard and when we've got access to the kinds of resources we do for Del Mar. But there is plenty of other action all over the place. And in fact, I should mention yesterday at Indiana, you had a nice running of the Tawi and the 3-year-old fillies. Siren Noosa, the Joe Sharp, Tisnow filly for Barry Butzo and wife Joni. And congratulations to them. Adam Bashiza, who really just is, for those of you that didn't watch the middle part of the country, he's a serious rider and making an impact. Nice $100,000 turf mile yesterday, and wanted to slip that one in. I mentioned as well that you've got a couple of, particularly the Oaks, tomorrow at Finger Lakes, and the New York Breds, and the boys race as well, the New York Derby. And you've got a very heavy favorite when it comes to the boys race, and just I guess I don't know, they can't call it any kind of, there's never a slam dunk, but analyze the odds, pretty obvious, and clearly good enough to get Junior Alvarado to go over to ride as well. I mean, that was we'll see if he, because I didn't notice it tomorrow at on the Saturday card, if just looking to see if he took calls at all, and it doesn't look like he did. No, it so he is going to go over, and it's 150,000. Why not? I guess. And then you got a little bit. What looks a little bit more competitive group of 11 in the Oaks. The boys' race is 6. I mentioned the Ontario Colleen, and then some other minor stakes action around the country. So I don't want to. We do not live by Saratoga and Del Mar alone, by any means. And nice cards at Arlington and Ellis and everywhere else. Mike Welch looks like we're going to struggle. Mike wasn't sure. He said he'll pick up if he can, and he hasn't. So, you know, we'll do case. We'll just save. It's too late now, obviously, with just 3 minutes to wrap up. So we'll get Mike plenty of opportunities during the course of the season. And let me, for those of you that have not accessed the clocking reports, give you the information again, drf.com/clocker, or you can use summer-clocker, which lays out both Saratoga and Del Mar. You can get both meets together. You can get a single one-day edition of either Clocker Report or a week. Either way, either meet, both meets, 1 week, or single days. And the information, invaluable. Speaking of which, today could really see. Let me see if there was one that I can give you an indication that Mike might have that he might have leaned on. Let me see if there's one that moved up on my own opinions. Some of them, sometimes they're just reinforced opinions when you go through and you, what I'll do is I'll handicap and I'll do my initial selections, and then when the clocking reports typically come out 4 o'clock the day before for DRF, National Turf comes out 10 o'clock the night before, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific. And then I'll go through and make a second pass. And more often than not, it'll help me maybe separate horses, and maybe a horse you wanted to throw in, particularly when you see a big price. And that's when to me the clocking reports, if you see like a little hint that that there's a horse that you know is not going to take money, but is doing something that that reinforces what is a nice indication on paper that they might run well. Here's one, Lady Apple today. Lady Apple, who I liked, going into the Astoria, but big team drill working inside of Nitrous. And of course, Nitrous on Saturday has got the big buzz around him. Probably second best, but love the way she dug in going out past the wire. That's the kind of thing on a horse that's going to be 8, 9, 10 to 1 and a maiden in a stake race. And it doesn't necessarily mean you bet her to win. I mean, you could cover her on the win end, but she's not the most likely winner by any means, but she, basically is reinforced if you had a positive impression of her coming into the race. That's the kind of thing that the Clocker Report does for you. One of the other favorite things that I find them helpful. This is somewhat of a Andy Harrington national turf element. The indication from a work pattern and form that a horse is may show more speed. And Harrington, and Mike does it too, Welch does it too, but Harrington in particular will say, you know, may show more speed today, and indicating that you might be able to project where the horse might be, that might, and it might be very favorable in terms of the race shape. And those are the nuances of the clocking reports. And I understand $10 a day, you know, or less if you subscribe, you know, for a course of a meet. But that's not a lot. And I say the same thing about the Thoroughgraph. Same thing is true there. Well, now, Welch called in now. What'd you do, Case? Did you keep him, or did you let him go? I didn't. I just saw this. So, all right, no problem. We'll get Mike. We'll get Mike as the meet progresses. So, I'm sorry that we couldn't have Mike join us, but I gave you the same kind of information he was going to give you. I wanted to ask him about some of the stake. Usually, with Mike, we reach out about stake courses and about the maidens. So there's just some, you know, there's a little bit of riffing on the value. I'm not going to say something trite like it takes money to make money. But let's face it, if you're going to bet, if you're going to use your bankroll, you're already committed to spending money. And you can't necessarily buy every tool out there, but you know, I rely on the clocking reports, and I rely on Thoroughgraph. Those are my, you know, beside past performances, in addition to, you know, to what, you know, and we use everything at our disposal on the past performance front too. So, but when it comes to adding on layers, those two, Thoroughgraph and clocking reports. And again, Trackside Grill tomorrow, for those of you that hadn't yet heard where the Thoroughgraph seminars are going to be, right there on Frank Sullivan Way between Nelson and Lincoln. Saratoga's upon us, an hour away from post. Good luck to everybody. One safe season and a good season for all. Look forward to seeing you there. Look forward to recapping everything on Monday. Good luck, everybody.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full card DRF past performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multitrack today.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. DAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.